And for this final segment, we are joined on air by Hugh Johnson, retired meteorologist. Frequent listeners will be familiar with his reports on As the World Turns, but given climate change, perhaps a better title is As the World Burns. So, Hugh, hello, are you here?
I am here.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us. Before we dive further into why global warming is so bad, I know last week you talked about the cool bias thermometer sensor at the Albany International Airport. Can you remind us about that? And is there any more you want to say about it?
Absolutely, yes. The thermometer, the sensor is supposedly not the problem, but the problem is that the temperature readings are coming out 2 to 2.5, perhaps 3 degrees consistently too cool compared to a standard, a golden standard, if you will, which isn't hard to do. I do want to make one quick clarification because one of my listeners last week brought this to my attention. I was comparing my weather station to the Albany Airport, and no, I never calibrated it. And it, but see, it's mine is not an official co-op or an official observation station. I was just comparing mine to the airport because it was very close before they put that new thermometer in, and then it suddenly became warmer at my place. But mine's not a golden standard. So I wanted to clarify that I'm not suggesting that mine is spot on. It was not perfectly accurate. But anyways, yeah, there is a problem with the airport thermometer, and it's supposedly going to be changed by the winter. But, you know, they know there's a problem, but they don't know. They claim it's not the sensor.
And you think that just to also for more clarification, you certainly believe that man-made climate change is real.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because here's the problem: we're emitting CO2 into the atmosphere. We've almost doubled the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere in the last couple of hundred years. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is because CO2 traps heat, and when you trap heat, you warm the planet. The air, the heat cannot escape, and we're slowly increasing the temperature of the Earth by doing that.
And what's an example of climate change? The effect of climate change here locally?
Good question. Yeah. Here's an example. Okay. So every 30 years, the National Climate Center releases new climate averages for areas like Albany, Boston, Baltimore, whatever, different cities. Here in Albany, in the last 30 years, our fall average has gone up 3 degrees since 1970. Now, it may not seem like a lot, but that's pretty significant. It's our second warmest season of warming next to winter. So our falls are generally a lot warmer than they used to be. And that average went up a degree in the last 10 years. So that's a little bit of an alarm signal, in my humble opinion, faster than it's gone up any time before, at least since we've been keeping modern records.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot. And you've mentioned before that you've contacted Representative Tonko and both senators about the problem. Have you heard back from them or heard any kind of climate change response?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard a darn thing. Now, someone told me, I forget who it was, that you have to be patient. It might take another week or so. You know, so I'll certainly won't keep bugging them yet. But I will definitely be contacting them if I don't hear in the next couple of days or week.
So I've heard some people refer to this as the Anthropocene period in geological history, where the major effect is the human change in geology and in the climate. Can you say a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, again, you know, it's all about the CO2. I mean, basically what happened is the Industrial Revolution began a long time ago. Well, not that long in terms of mankind, but in the late 1700s. And we started, that's when we had the coal burning, fossil fuels really became rampant and increased rapidly through the 1800s and into the 1900s as well. And initially, with a lot of the aerosols being ejected, there was some times where there was actually a little cooling going on, and that continued off and on. Now, there were some warming times too, but cooling through about around 1970. After 1970, the air got cleaner. We had the aerosols got cleaner. We've had some improvement on air quality, but the problem is we're still emitting a lot of CO2, not just this country, but of course, China, India, Russia, all the major powers are continuing to produce a lot of CO2, cars, a lot of it in cars and other fossil fuel burning things. So, and natural gas, unfortunately, even though it's a little cleaner, certainly than oil and coal, it still emits CO2 and even a little bit of what's called methane into the atmosphere, which is even a more efficient gas to trap heat. But CO2 is the major problem.
With something that feels like it's such a severe threat to everybody on this planet, what's been the biggest holdup of trying to address it? What's everybody dragging their feet for, in your opinion?
Well, unfortunately, I don't like to get into politics involved, but politics has gotten involved, and there was a side that supports it and a side that doesn't. The side that doesn't is increasingly resistant, and first they said, oh, no, there's no warming at all. Now they admit there's warming, but say, of course, it's natural. And then some say it's going to start cooling again, and there's all kinds of crazy things out there. And, you know, because it hasn't, their house hasn't flooded yet, they don't see the big picture. And the problem, it seems like, unfortunately, by the time we get strong consensus that there is a problem with the climate, it might be too late. I hope not, but that's unfortunately how it could end up going if this continues along its merry way.
That actually is something I wanted to check with you about, because I've read conflicting reports. One is that we are now in a self-feeding loop where the melting of the ice cap and the ice sheets is creating warmer oceans, which is increasing the melting of ice caps and ice sheets. And some people say it is too late. Other people say, no, we can reverse it. What are your thoughts, besides just hopes and prayers?
Yeah, I agree. I think we can possibly reverse it, but I think we got to act pretty quickly and, you know, very accordingly. I mean, we're trying to get like electric cars. That's going to help a little bit. There are even some ways that scientists can actually suck the CO2 out of the atmosphere, because that's another problem. The CO2 that's in the atmosphere is not going to go away that quickly. That's going to linger for a long time. And that's a huge gargantuan problem. And something that still, the technology is very small, very, you know, infinite at trying to get that done. But, you know, and again, I think the problem is, you know, it is political. I mean, we have our current administration that really is on to the global warming concern, but it has its hands tied. And you know, I mean, again, this is the fact. I mean, I'm not trying to, this is what we're seeing. And some things are getting done, but a lot of things aren't. And I'd personally like to see a much better rail system. I know rail system is not, everything leaves a carbon footprint, and so does even electric trains, but it's a lot less than jets, it's a lot less than cars, so it would be an improvement. And we're just, in my opinion, we're not moving quickly enough in that direction, and I know why. I know exactly why.
Are there any short-term benefits to climate change? Will I be able to grow oranges in my backyard? It's coming soon here in New York.
That's a good question. I do agree that, you know, we have to look at, there are some short-term benefits. We have a longer growing season. Albany, I think their growing season is almost a month longer than it used to be, or at least several weeks. Probably not going to quite be ready to grow oranges anytime soon. If we do, we're probably in trouble, but we are definitely seeing plants move further north, and we're seeing things extend further into the season. So that is, in a way, that is a positive thing. But on the flip side of the coin, rising, we talked about the seawater rising. That's very, very concerning, because something like, I think a quarter, over 10% of the population, maybe 20% live near, like within a couple of miles of the coast. It's a large number. So if you raise that sea level just 10 feet, that's a disaster. So any benefit, like longer seasons, further north you go and things like that, are probably offset by, you know, coastal areas being inundated and greater disease and greater weather extremes and things like that. So unfortunately, it's not a total, there are a few benefits, but I think they're strongly negated by other concerning ones.
Okay, and unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Hugh. This has been a live conversation with Hugh Johnson, retired meteorologist. For past reports, visit mediasanctuary.org and listen for Hugh each week on Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you. Have a great night, both of you.